the people in these situations are often fleeing at very short notice from situations where they've been abused or there's been an event that's happened and they've had to get out of the house quickly. And so the fact that nearly half of them are homeless on presentation to services is really not a big surprise from our point of view.
And where are these victims going, Tim?
Look, it really depends on the case, that the individual case, but a lot of them end up staying with family and friends for short periods of time if they have that support, particularly in the city where they're located or the whatever location they're at. A lot of them find crisis accommodation, so refuges will take them on. And we actually found that about 80% or just over 80% of people who requested short-term accommodation actually got it in the first instance, which is a fantastic outcome.
Yes, and I know that the statistics are much less, I suppose, impressive in terms of long-term accommodation. What happens to those victims?
Yeah, we found that about 9% of family and domestic violence clients are given long-term accommodation the first time they request it, and that's probably an important point to emphasise. This is a statistic about the first time someone comes in and asks for that support. It really is just a demand issue, a supply and demand issue. There are far fewer long-term accommodation facilities available for anyone, let alone family and domestic clients seeking that.
Yes, absolutely, if they're presenting to their families. So is the government doing enough to facilitate for these victims?
Look, I think it's very hard to make a comment on that, given that there are 1,500 agencies that are funded by governments across the country. So you'd probably get a different answer from depending on who you asked. But I guess the thing to point out is that there's a lot of money and a lot of resources going in from all levels of government, from Commonwealth government right down to the states and territories. And there are also a lot of NGOs in the sector who are also putting in their own resources. And so the key point to make is that there is a lot of money and a lot of effort going in to support these people. And in terms of the support that they get the first time they request it, especially with short-term accommodation, these statistics do show that it can be effective. The thing to point out about the homelessness rate is that we found that the 48% coming in at the start of the three-year period reduces to around about 40% at the end of that period, which means that we are seeing some positive outcomes towards the end of the period. So some people do actually, you know, move to the longer-term accommodation over that three-year period. So it's not just about those small amounts coming in at the start that are getting access. If when you look at it over the full period, there actually is a fairly good outcome.
Yeah, that's definitely very reassuring. And those victims that are suffering from Stockholm Syndrome, they're less likely to present for help. How many more women out there do you think would be actually suffering from homelessness as a result of domestic violence if they spoke up?
It is that's a very hard hard question to answer, but I guess the short answer is we know that this is an undercount in terms of the number and proportion of people who are seeking these supports, just because the only statistics we get on this are people who are coming into the sector seeking that support. So there are, as you've suggested, there are definitely going to be some people, probably men and women and their children, who haven't actually approached any of these services for a variety of reasons, but the one you touched on certainly is likely to be a factor.
Yes, absolutely. And I suspect that the data would be even more concerning if we had access to that data, the amount of men and women who aren't speaking up.
Yes, that's right. I'm sure the numbers will, yeah, I mean, there's no way of saying how many there would be, but it's certainly, there's certainly the numbers. And the numbers that we have already, the fact that 36% of this particular cohort do seek family and domestic violence support, that's actually quite a stark number coming out of these. So it would be very interesting and probably a little bit scary to see how high that number actually is in reality.
Yes, that's right. Thank you so much for your time, Tim.
No problem, Georgia.